be thy habit as thy purse can buy, for not expressed in fancy, rich, not gaudy, for the apparel oft proclaims the man. And they in France of the best rank and station are of a most select and generous chief in that. Some parting words of advice from Polonius to his son Laertes in Shakespeare's Hamlet. And indeed, the adage that clothes do make the man and the woman has persisted the ages. So yes, clothes can make the man. As how we humans judge each other, it's nothing new. But did you know that clothes can take the man? Think of poor old Miss Havisham from Charles Dickens' Great Expectations. The frightening spectacle of the tatters of her ancient wedding dress burning up with a whirl of fire blazing all about her and soaring at least as many feet above her head as she was high. Dreadful stuff. But don't believe for a second that incidents like this are confined to the realm of fiction. The crinoline, a cage-like petticoat, a hooped and stiffened structure that ladies wore beneath their dresses, popular fashion during the mid-19th century, could at times serve as a death trap, as was the case for poor Frances Fanny Longfellow, beloved wife of the famed American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. On July 9th, 1861, Henry Longfellow was awoken from a restful nap by the screams of his wife, Fanny, rushing at him in her crinoline-supported dress, now a cage engulfed in rapidly growing flames, from which he could not save her.
Tighter!
And then there's that other deadly beast of ladies' fashion, the corset. First popular in 16th century Europe, it reached the zenith of its popularity in the Victorian era. It came to a point where, in the pursuit of molding their feminine figure into an all-too-literal hourglass shape, many women laced these contraptions so tight that internal organs were displaced. And when it happened that a rib was cracked, a very dangerous injury to have at that time, many a martyr died in the quest for what was perceived to be the ultimate in feminine perfection. Perhaps more brutally, however, the corset would constrain women psychologically as well as physically. Women were literally laced into their role as the weaker sex. For a woman so restricted in her movements could also be so restricted in her thoughts and ideas. As the suffragist movement and World War I ushered in the dawning of an age of loosened restrictions, figuratively and literally in terms of the constraints on a woman's figure, perhaps history's most infamous fashion victim met her end in the back seat of an Amilcar custom automobile in Nice, France, on September 14th, 1927. The world-renowned American dancer Isadora Duncan was almost as famous for the long flowing scarves she loved to show off in public as she was for her dancing. On this fateful journey, the scarf, a hand-painted silk masterpiece by the Russian artist Roman Chatov, got caught and became entangled around an open-spoked wheels and rear axle of the speeding automobile, and she was strangled, nearly decapitated, as she was hurled from the car, neck broken, in the clutches of the once benign and adored accessory. Oh, how we suffer for our looks! I wonder, how far would you be willing to go to be part of the fashion circus? Well, darlings, tonight we're giving you a chance to join us as we hang a new line of finely tailored creations for a fashion show you won't soon forget. Where peril is oh so chic, mayhem is all the mode, and death is always in vogue. This is Fireside Mystery Theater. Fashionistas, I am Ali Silva. I'm so happy to see everyone who is here tonight. Darlings, you all look stunning and utterly smashing. Dressed to the nines, I would say. Well, for most of you. I was hoping you would be, because that's what's at the heart of our program tonight. Haute Couture. Three original radio dramas, all dressed up with nowhere to go, except straight to your darkest dreams. Karl Lagerfeld once famously said, one is never overdressed or underdressed with a little black dress. He was referring, of course, to the iconic garment that happens to be at the center of tonight's first tale of terror, Coco's little black dress. For those of you listening at home, now would be the best time to dim those lights for maximum effect. Paul, honey, maybe we should stay on the main road. These side roads haven't been plowed. Look at those drifts.
I agree. We'll have to take the long way. I still don't see why your family's probate lawyer made us travel all the way to your Aunt Elspeth's.
You know, dear, it was a provision of the will. If Aunt Elspeth knew how bad these roads would be, I'm sure she would have chosen a more convenient location.
Your sister? She's still behind us?
Yes. That's her car.
I was hoping we would have lost her in the storm.
Paul, be nice.
Well, she certainly got her comeuppance when the will was read.
Yeah, even I'm surprised that Aunt Elspeth left her nothing. All of the elders in the family, Elspeth was the only one that seemed to get on at all with Mercedes.
Really, Veronica? Does anyone get on with Mercedes?
That's enough of that, Paul.
It's not like she left you a fortune either. I mean, it's just a sack of some old clothes.
Well, I didn't want to tell you this while we were there, but I'm absolutely thrilled about those old clothes.
I'm gonna dress up for a sentimental journey, eh, Veronica?
I don't think so. The only ones who should be wearing some of these things are mannequins at the Met Museum in New York.
Really? Some collector's items in there? Maybe we need to get them appraised by an antiques roadshow or something.
Oh, Mercedes and I always coveted Aunt Elspeth's old wardrobe collection. We know the value of those things. Especially one thing.
What?
The Chanel. Coco Chanel's little black dress. It's an original from 1926, and it is priceless. And in excellent condition, too. A true rarity.
What's it worth?
A lot.
Don't be too specific now. How much is it worth?
A lot. But I don't plan on selling it. It's a Molinard family heirloom. Something I'd like to pass on to our daughters one day.
When we have children.
We will.
I know. I'm just destined to have daughters.
If there's any justice in this world.
I know. I'll be getting what's coming to me.
Huh.
Veronica. You know Mercedes is not going to take this well.
She's been through a lot.
We've all been through a lot.
It's so good to be out of the cold and snow. I am ready for a cocktail.
I'm on the case. Gin martini extra dry coming right up. What would you like, Mercedes?
I don't want anything to drink. Paul, Veronica, do you have any aspirin?
Oh, sure. I'll get you some Tylenol.
I'm allergic to Tylenol, Paul. You know that.
And why am I expected to remember that, Mercedes?
Paul, please. I have some regular ibuprofen, dear.
And could you bring a glass of ice water with that, please? Oh, God, my head is throbbing.
I'll be right back.
I hope that you find your accommodations are adequate, Mercedes.
The room is fine.
How long will you be staying with us, Mercedes?
Oh, don't you worry. I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
We're supposed to get another 6 inches tomorrow, you know.
Oh, I'm glad to see you're so concerned about my welfare, Paul.
Here you go, Mercedes.
I believe I asked you for ice water.
Yes, you are right. I'll go.
Forget it. Never mind. Oh, my head.
Veronica, hun, here's your cocktail. I'm going to go upstairs.
Are you all right, dear? It's still early.
Just a little tired from all the driving today. Excuse me.
So, is there anything you'd like to do tonight?
No.
Mercedes.
What?
I'm sorry about...
What are you sorry about? Sorry that you always get all the breaks and I get...
Aunt Elspin gave away most of her estate to her college and her charities.
But you got something. Something very special. I don't get it. Aunt Elspin was always closer with me.
She was very fond of you.
A lot of good that does me now.
That is a terrible thing to say.
Oh, please. This is not the time to play Saint Veronica.
Are you having financial troubles again? Paul and I are happy to
help. Oh, see? There you go again. Trying to fix everything. Save everyone. Patch things up. Oh, I'm so sick of it, I swear.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to show me what's in that sack that Aunt Elspin left you.
You know what's in it, and I'm not going to give it to you.
Oh, well, how noble of you.
Look, I am willing to share Aunt Elspin's collection with you. Even the Chanel little black dress.
You know as well as I do that dress belongs to me. Aunt Elspin always said it would look best on me. My figure. I have the right frame, the right size.
She said the same thing about both of us.
Well, that's maybe how you remember it. I remember it differently. Anyway, you'd never fit in that dress now.
Look, I said we can share it. I want it to be a family heirloom. I'm not going...
I said it's mine, goddammit!
I would just give it to you if I was sure you wouldn't sell it.
I would do whatever the hell I want with it. It's rightfully mine. I'm so sick of you getting all the goddamn breaks.
The clothes were left to me. That's how it worked out. I had no grand design here.
Yeah. Just another coincidence. My sister gets yet another perk, another advantage. The nice house, the dream career, the two cars, the model husband. And what do I get? A splinter off the short end of the stick. Well, maybe there's still a crumb from the table left that I can have that you haven't sucked up for yourself. Oh, I just want to throw up.
Mercedes, I don't know what to do anymore. I'm trying. I really am.
Oh, really? Well, try walking a mile in my shoes. Then you would know.
I'm getting tired of arguing with you, Mercedes. I'm going upstairs. Let's try to talk in a more constructive manner tomorrow morning, after we've both had some rest.
Oh, please, don't patronize me. Don't you worry, sis. I'll be gone tomorrow before you wake up.
Thank you.
bedroom door is open a crack. Let me see. Yes, good. They're both asleep. Heavy sleepers they are. Good. Perfect. Oh, I can't... Now, where is that banister? Oh, good. Got it. Where is that sack? Oh, yes. Right here where she left it. Great. Where the hell can I find one of those things? I do not see one anywhere. Stupid town. Every town has them except this Oh, wait. There's a policeman. Let me pull over and ask him. Hello? Officer?
Yes, ma'am. What can I do for you?
Where can I find one of those charity clothing drop-off boxes around here?
Let me see. Oh, yeah, there's one in the Crown Food Mart parking lot about 2 miles straight ahead. Turn left at I-61 and you should see it from the road.
That's so very helpful, officer. Thank you.
Be careful driving, miss. The snowstorm is just getting underway. You sure you can't wait to drop off your old clothing tomorrow?
I won't have time tomorrow. Besides, it's on my way home. Thanks again. Oh, it's already getting hard to see. This place is totally dark. Why are all the lampposts dark in this lot? What is up with that? Where the hell is that drop-off box? Well, that stupid cop better not have been wrong about... Oh, wait. Is that it? Oh, yes. Great. Why is the drop-off box here? It's so remote from everything. I'll just pull up close to it. Okay, Veronica. Now I can be the saint for once. Let's see how you react once these precious clothes are found and worn by beggars and derelicts. It's me. It's me at my most selfless. And I am willing to perform this selfless act, especially if it means hurting you. The way I hurt... Yeah, you know, seeing you hurt for once will be a charitable act. Look how easy it is. All I have to do is open the door of this green box and... What was that? Oh, never mind. Okay. Let me just push this stupid sack in and that's that.
Well, that was predictable.
Paul, that is a very cruel thing to say.
You would have thought that when Mercedes wrote her will, she would have been a bit more reflective.
We don't need her money.
Yeah, who knew? She was always crying poor and taking money from us and lived almost like a pauper. But in the end, she was wealthier than anyone else in your family. She hoarded all the money she made with all of her investments on the QT, but did she even leave us a penny? It's just bad form.
Bad form? Are you serious? The poor girl is dead, my sister!
Yeah, bad form, Veronica. Finding her frozen dead body inside of a charity clothing drop-off box...
Wearing Coco Chanel's little black dress.
...is bad form, honey. And why on earth did you allow her to be buried wearing a priceless dress like that?
You just don't get it, Paul. She always felt shortchanged and looked to material things to fill the void. But not getting that dress was the nail in her coffin.
If only she loved anything else.
You'll never understand, Paul. But believe me, it was the right thing to do. In the end, it was really such a small thing to ask.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Nicole Zoritis.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, and the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way.
Amazing. Let's hear it from Nicole Zoritis. And her fabulous rendition of the silky standard, The Way You Look Tonight. Be sure, people, to stick around for her set right after our show tonight. And now this word from one of our sponsors.
Ali Silva in Red Carpet Blues.
Oh, now what is this?
Wow, really? I wonder how many Muppets had to die to make that coat.
Obviously, her closet is known as the place where style stood still.
Oh, dear. And this one, too? Now this just makes me sad. Look at this handbag.
Not even the most punch-drunk boxer would be willing to fight over that purse.
You can't fix putrid.
Oh, no. Just tragic. Now this one... almost had it all together, but my word, those shoes. Ugh. I mean, I know I've dated some heels in my time, but those heels are just dated.
Oh, this is hopeless. Is there not one person on the red carpet who can...
Heavens!
It can't be.
Who would have thought?
Look! Making their way down the red carpet now. Podcast celebrities Ali Silva and that guy with the deep voice from Fireside Mystery Theater.
Oh, I'm almost blinded by the light from those
and made in handcrafted creations.
Miss Silva, if it's not too much to ask.
Oh, yes, darling.
May we
touch you?
Of course not. But I'll turn a little this way so you're not completely bereft of visibility.
James Reeser here, coming to you live with Ali Silva on the red carpet, using my robust and authoritative baritone to silence these... pathetic snarks. And to tell you all about Fifth and Maiden handcrafted jewelry. Fifth and Maiden offers wholesale, organic, luxury jewelry and housewares that blend clean lines...
With a bit of shimmer.
Made with exquisite natural finds directly from the stunning California coastline. All Fifth and Maiden pieces are handcrafted in their SoCal studio. To learn more, just go to their website, fifthandmaiden.storeenvy.com. Fifth and Maiden are the official jewelers of Fireside Mystery Theater.
And that concludes Act One of our program. I just wanted to give a shout out to our hosting service, Audio Boom. Now, Audio Boom is truly the podcaster's best friend. It's the perfect place to listen to your favorite podcast, as well as host that podcast you've been talking to all your friends about launching. We can't recommend them enough. So please go to audioboom.com and start listening today. So last year, I was fortunate enough to catch a special exhibit at the Costume Institute of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City called Death Becomes Her, A Century of Mourning Attire. Though many of these gowns with their heavy veils and few variances to the omnipresent hue of black, they painted for me this fascinating glimpse of obsolete and often oppressive customs and mores for women of the 19th and early 20th century. My impression on the whole was that of an overwhelming dark beauty in these widow's weeds. Many of these gorgeous and fascinating pieces, ironically, were often a burden for society women to wear. There were very specific regulations in custom and time frame in which a proper lady must don her mourning attire every single day for years at a time, or risk societal social scandal. As I walked among these aged yet remarkably stunning creations, I couldn't help it, as my imagination was stimulated and provoked. In each of these gothic frocks could be woven at least one ominous story, at least one morbid fantasy. For you, my friends, our ominous story is the next radio drama, hand-stitched to give you a shiver or two. We call it The Darkest Yet.
Bergdorf Goodman, Linda Fargo speaking.
Oh, hi. Miss Fargo, this is Bradbury. I'm writing a piece for Vanity Fair.
Hi, Brad. Have we met before? I don't know if I recall.
No, I'm a contributor, just working on this one story.
You're not originally from New York, are you? I can tell right away. I'm going out on a limb here. You're a Wisconsin boy, aren't you?
I am. From Kenosha. How could you tell?
It's all in the dialect. I'm a Wisconsin girl myself. So, nice to meet you, Brad. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm writing a piece about Russell Shandy, and I wanted to ask you a few things. Miss Fargo?
What do you want to know?
Well, for one, why did your store, Bergdorf Goodman, pull his last line from the floor? I mean, such a highly celebrated and successful designer's final statement, and 1 week after his death, you take his clothes off the rack. Why?
I and everyone here at Bergdorf Goodman had nothing but respect for Mr. Shandy. We're all still in shock, in fact.
So, you didn't like the clothing he designed for his final line? Was it not up to your high standards?
Quite the contrary. The clothes he created for his final line were the most profound and genre-shattering work I've seen in all my years.
Too ahead of its time, perhaps.
It's timeless, actually.
Well, then why did you pull it?
We decided to donate the collection to the Met Museum instead of selling it in our showrooms. We thought the work was that important.
Okay. Well, that was very generous of you, I'll admit. Some things are just too good to wear, I suppose, huh?
You could say that.
Miss Fargo, please excuse my reporter's intuition, but I'm getting a strange feeling about all this.
What do you mean?
well, pardon my saying it, but I think that I detect a sense of, I don't know, unease. Perhaps this other word is a little stronger, but I'm going to use it anyway. Ambivalence?
You're very perceptive, Brad.
Okay, so what is it then?
I'm not sure I want to say any more on this matter, Brad. I will say this, and this is off the record, you understand? This collection is aptly named.
The Darkest Yet collection. Yeah, well, it doesn't sound like much fun. Okay, then. Can you tell me anything about the Met exhibit?
Oh, that will be happening in the spring of next year.
Well, is there someone I can talk to over there?
Look up Victor Lee. He's curating the exhibit.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lee.
Come in, Miss Rankin.
Oh, please, call me Jennifer.
How can I help you?
Well, like everyone else, I was beyond thrilled to learn that the Darkest Yet collection was going to be displayed here at the museum.
Yes, we are all very much looking forward to it as well. We predict it's going to bring us a lot of visitor traffic.
Oh, well, that goes without saying. There will never be another Russell Shandy. It's so hard to even say that out loud like that.
His work transcended fashion into the world of fine art. His final work in particular.
Yes, no one would argue with that.
Well, Miss Rankin, what can I
do? I'm sorry. Just get to the point, right? Okay. Well, you see, I tried to purchase one of the features of the collection at Bergdorf Goodman's before they removed the line from the store and sent them here to the museum. Was a little too slow on the draw, apparently.
Miss Rankin. There
was one ensemble in particular I had my eye on. I had every intention of purchasing it. The skirt and puffy blouse with the fabulous headdress. Shandy called that one Black Flames, I believe.
Ms. Rankin.
You know, I was one of Russell's very first patrons. I was a fan before anyone else knew his name. I helped him get attention when he started out, and I own at least one item from all his previous collections. Except this one.
If you're about to ask what I think you're going to ask, the answer, I'm afraid, is no.
Well, please, hold on. Hear me out.
I just can't sell you the Black Flames ensemble from the collection like that. This isn't a store, Miss Rankin.
Well, then, let me at least borrow it for a week. I'll have it back to you well before the exhibit opens. Oh, it would mean so much to me.
This is not a lending library either, Miss Rankin.
Listen to me, Mr. Lee. As a patron, I would definitely make it worth the museum's time and your time. And I don't say such things lightly.
Go on, I'm still listening.
Well, you don't need to listen. Just take a look at this photograph.
Okay. Well, oh my, I've never seen one of these. Where is it from?
My personal collection. It's the only one there is in the world.
Seriously? My God.
I will donate it to the museum, and you will be able to cradle it in your darling little manicured fingers. Provided you're wearing gloves, of course.
Well, this is quite a generous offer, and I suppose we could work something out in exchange.
So it's a deal, then. Great.
Okay, you can borrow the Black Flames ensemble for just 1 week, though. And not a day longer, is that understood?
That is our bargain.
Also, I'm going to have to ask that you not appear anywhere in public where you'd be photographed. Otherwise, I'll be overrun with requests like this.
Fair enough.
It's worth that much to you, eh?
You wouldn't understand. Here's my card. Have it sent to this address, please.
And you will return it in 1 week.
You have my word, Mr. Lee.
Excuse me, Miss Rankin. Hello? Oh, yes, I've been expecting him. Send him in, thank you.
How are you, Mr. Lee? I'm Bradley Barry.
From Vanity Fair, right? Good to meet you, Mr. Barry. This is Jennifer Rankin.
Oh, nice to meet you in person, Miss Rankin. I never fail to see your name in all the society columns.
Vanity Fair. Well, very nice to meet you. Well, Mr. Lee, Mr. Barry, I must be going.
Maybe you'd like to join us, Miss Rankin. I was just going to give Mr. Barry here a behind-the-scenes sneak peek at the Darkest Yet exhibit.
Oh, that's quite all right, Mr. Lee. While that is extremely kind of you, I don't want any special favors or treatment. I'll enjoy seeing the collection with the rest of the public at the debut of the exhibition. Ciao!
Hey, Linda Fargo, it's me. Brad Barry, the reporter from Kenosha. Remember? We talked on the phone the other day?
Hi, Brad. As you can tell, this is not an ideal time to talk right now.
I know. I know. I realize that. It's just that, now that this has happened, well, my story has taken a little bit of...
I can't believe it. That's all I could say right now. I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either, Sashan.
I can't believe it that with all the wealthy people here, that they came dressed to her funeral like this. This is the real tragedy. You know, there's people here who should know better. Mattress print? Polo shirts at a funeral service? Who does that? I mean, come on.
First Russell, now Jennifer Rankin. This is another huge loss for the fashion community.
It's utterly devastating.
You were close to Miss Rankin too, right, Mr. Sashan?
Close? I was her favorite designer.
Next to Russell Shandy.
I beg to differ.
Well, with all due respect, it wasn't your outfit she died in.
Well, none of my outfits would have killed her either. Yes, that's right. I said it.
Oh, God, I'm so glad we got rid of that line as fast as we did.
What was that, Miss Fargo?
The Darkest Yet? Would you give me a break? How pretentious can you get? Russell Shandy, may he rest in peace, was a hack. And not a very nice person to boot. Let's be honest here. People might be mourning the fact that he's not designing any more clothes, but they don't actually miss him. Do you know what I mean?
Can I quote you on that?
Oh, God, I really don't care. Where is everyone going to eat afterward? I mean, does anybody know they're supposed to feed us at these things, aren't they? Look, man, if you're looking to write a puff piece on Russell Shandy, stop hanging around me and go talk to his ex over there.
His ex? That's him over there?
Yeah, his name is Tom Wetzel. You know, the one who actually looks like he goes to a decent tailor.
Well, who's that woman with him?
Oh, you know who she is. You just can't tell because she's hiding her face behind that veil. That is Christina Velmare.
That's Christina Velmare? Really? Russell Shandy's favorite clothes horse and muse?
And punching bag, supposedly. Supposedly, as in, that's who she really was.
Excuse me. Hello. I'm sorry if this isn't a good time, but I'm writing a tribute to Russell Shandy for Vanity Fair, and I wanted to know if I could get a quote from either of you. I know. I know. Like I said, I understand if it's not a good time, but...
Now, you are right. Now is not a good time.
I'm sorry.
No, actually, it's all right. Excuse me for a moment, Christina. I'd like to have a word with this gentleman.
Tom, wait a minute. Don't you walk away from me.
Be back in a minute, Christina.
We need to talk.
Be right back. Here, hold this for me.
What? What is...
Just do me a favor and hold on to this for a little bit. Put it in your pocket before she sees.
What's going on here? You're Russell Shandy's ex. Ow, what the... This thing's a little kind of a little hot. Did you just pull this out of the oven or something?
Put it in your pocket already.
What is it?
It's all part of something Russell was messing with, something that drove us apart, something that drove him to madness and suicide. And Christina is...
I don't understand.
We have to stop them. And the Darkest Yet collection has to be destroyed. No one must ever wear those clothes.
What are you talking about?
You know what happened to Jennifer Rankin there? It said in her will that she was supposed to be cremated, No need for that now, since Russell's black flames did the job for her.
Tom, Mr. Westall, what are you saying?
No one was there when she put on that frock. But did you know what they found when she was burnt to a crisp and there was no fire anywhere?
You can't believe it was the clothes that did that. Tom, I mean, I'm sure this is all very explainable.
Oh, sure, but you don't know about the part they left out of the Daily News article. Black footsteps were found. Black footsteps burned into the wooden floor of her apartment that stopped right at her front door. And there was no smell of smoke at all anywhere. None. Only cologne. Russell's fragrance. I was there. I swear it. That piece I just gave you, that was on the headdress from the ensemble Jennifer was wearing. I took it...
Tom, let's just calm down and start from the beginning, okay?
I can't. She's coming this way. Do me a favor. Meet me in 3 hours at Bemelman's Bar at the Carlisle. It's on East 76th Street. I'll tell you everything. And don't lose that thing I just gave you, whatever you do.
Tom, why don't you just go to the...
Tom, baby. Come on. I'm sorry for what I said. Let's just talk like grown-ups. We're both hurting now.
Excuse me, but we'd like to be alone right now.
Would you like another sidecar, sir?
I think I'm gonna switch to beer. A Pilsner, please.
Sure thing.
It's quiet in here tonight, huh? Nobody but you and me.
Hey, I'm sitting here too.
Oh. Hi there.
Why are you here all alone?
I've been waiting to meet someone here for the last hour. I think I've been stood up.
That's too bad. But maybe it's my good fortune, then.
Where's your beer, sir?
Thank you. Would you like a drink,
Vivian. No, thank you. Who are you waiting for?
A friend.
A friend?
Yeah.
What's his name, by any chance? Tom? Tom Westall?
Yes? Was he here? Did I miss him?
Look up his name on your phone. Google him.
What?
Go ahead. Do it.
Why?
Just do as I say.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Yes. What does it say?
But I don't...
What does the article say that he fell from a window balcony?
Yeah.
I'm very sorry to hear about your friend.
What just happened here? Who are you?
I told you my name is Vivian.
Okay, I got that already. What have I gotten myself into here? Would you mind telling me?
Are you familiar by any chance with the story of the Red Shoes?
The fairy tale? Vaguely.
The red shoes. They are a symbol of vanity. Pride. When the girl puts them on, she cannot stop dancing. Even after they chop off her feet, the shoes continue to dance with the severed feet inside of them.
What does that have to do with anything?
It surprises me that you would ask that.
I'm sorry?
I mean, you made it this far. After all, you are writing a story... And Russell, are you not? This is the part where you're supposed to have found out about Russell's peculiar dabblings. Or, as I might call them, indiscretions.
Well, you know what? Maybe I'm just not as good a reporter as I thought I was. Why don't you tell me?
It's always a little less interesting that way, don't you think? But, in the interest of time, of which I do not have a sufficient amount, I will provide a short summary. Russell was a pupil of mine. A former member of my esteemed order. Together we charted unknown territory to create a new kind of alchemy. He was the master clothesmaker. the great weaver. He could already use the spindle to turn straw into gold, but soon we discovered something else. Something glorious.
I'm sorry. Vivian? This is getting a little too weird for me. This is all over my head, so...
With his thread and needle, he could co-mingle with the celestial energies associated with the forbidden elements and bring forth magic and treasures the world has not seen for thousands of years. Specifically, a treasure you hold this very moment in your jacket pocket. Of all my acolytes, he was the one most destined for glory. But he lost sight of the main principles of our faith. He could not reconcile the purity of our magic with his own overdeveloped ego. He lost the way. And when he lost the way, he lost his life.
Okay, okay. Vivian, is it? Okay, I'm sorry. I can't stay here any longer and listen to this. Bartender, here, I think this should cover my drinks and then some.
Stay where you are.
No!
You're not leaving until you return what Russell Shandy stole from me. From us. That trinket that Tom gave you earlier. The item that is burning a hole in your jacket pocket right now.
What, this thing?
The amulet. Yes. Please, give it to me, and I will bother you no more.
I'm leaving now, and I think I might just head over to the police with it, too.
Listen to me! If you walk out of this door, something will happen to you. There's someone watching for you outside. They've been told that if you walk out of here before me, they are to fire. But we'd much prefer to do this cleanly and quietly. Now, please, give it to me.
You are not serious.
She is. But I'm even more serious. Give the amulet to me.
Christina, I thought you would have learned your lesson by now. Tell me, is the world ready to see your face yet? Your true face. Tell us, when will you lift the veil?
That's why I must have it. Give it to me.
You wouldn't know what to do with it.
I know enough. Give it to me.
The amulet is nothing to meddle with. Ask Jennifer Rankin.
Give it to me.
Russell was almost a bigger fool than you. You poor, stupid child. Look what he did to your face. How could you love such a fool?
Give it to me!
Hey!
Hey, knock it off! I said knock it off!
It's fallen from his pocket!
Get away from me!
I got it! No! It's mine!
It's mine!
Kill you!
Break it up now!
Ignus! Lapidus!
Hey, stop that! I said stop it!
Ignus!
Come on, Lapidus. Stop it!
Ignus!
Stop right now!
Oh my God! What the hell just happened?
Whoa! Holy!
They're on, Christ, they're on fire! They're burning up! Just do something!
I'm grabbing this tablecloth.
My God! They still won't let go of each other. Cover them with that cloth, quick!
I can't get near them. The flames are too big.
Look out!
Thank you. forget her. But it's my pride. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. Please don't wear red tonight. This is what I said tonight. For red is the color that will make me blue. In spite of you, it's true. Yes, it is, it's true. Yes, it is.
Let's hear it to our very own Ms. Martina Da Silva, Ms. Lauren Elder, and Ms. Nicole Zoraitis. That was an eerie ode to forlorn fashion. The Beatles' hidden gem. Yes, it is. And now this word from one of our sponsors.
Oh.
Hey, Guy, what's the matter?
Oh, she's so beautiful, Mikey Brooklyn.
Which one, Guy? We're completely surrounded by supermodels here. Ba-bing.
Oh, man, but her.
Yeah, she's decent, I guess.
But she's way out of my league.
You know, well, this is true. As long as you keep drinking that. What is that in your hand, by the way, Guy?
This? Well, this is an old-fashioned.
Ah, oh, jeez. An old-fashioned? Only you would drink an old-fashioned at a party celebrating the latest in fashions, you dunce. Hey, give me that!
Mikey Brooklyn, hey, give it back. Don't pour my drink in the fish tank. Oh, this poor fish.
Oh, don't worry, Guy. Let him drink like fish. You're gonna drink like a man, fella. There's one for you and one for that babe you keep trading unwanted stares with. Things are about to change right now.
Go on, go get a stallion.
But I don't think I can go over
there. Sure.
What you got yourself here is two highballs filled to the brim with confidence. Some hot model bait that I call a sachet sling. Personally handmade with my own cordially Brooklyn syrups and shrubs. Now straighten up and wipe that crust half of your upper lip and reel her in, fella.
Here I go.
Take it from me, your friend Mikey Brooklyn. The night can take you anywheres if your cocktails are made with integrity. Cordially Brooklyn is focused on making small batch organic syrups and shrubs for professionals and home bartenders alike using only the finest local ingredients. Get hip, Chip, and get all the info at cordiallybrooklyn.com and start drinking like an actual person today. Hey, way to go, Guy. Go get her.
Thanks.
For our next story, let's jet set across the pond to Paris, one of the world's fashion capitals and the birthplace of haute couture. In France, they are so serious about their clothes that haute couture is actually a legal term, meaning that any item given the title has passed a series of criteria created in 1945 and only updated once in 1992. Among the criteria, that is, a haute couturier must design made-to-order pieces for private clients with one or more fittings, have a workshop, an atelier, in Paris that employs at least 15 full-time staff members and present a collection twice a year to the Paris press, comprising of at least 35 looks with outfits for both daytime and evening wear. Well, so there are two haute couture fashion weeks, one in July and one in January, always in Paris, with a very elite group of fashion houses and designers who are able to maintain their haute couture credentials. Chief among them is that of Christian Dior, with a rich history infused with a bit of magic in the fashion world following the bleakness of World War II. This magic still sits like a cloak of fairy dust upon his atelier, which still operates today at the site it opened in 1946. The fashion house presents clothing that is so exquisite in taste and beauty that one glance will have you forever Dreaming of Dior.
Another 2 hours of sleep.
I'm sorry, baby, but this is huge. We're going to Paris.
Paris? I don't want to go to Paris. I want to go back to sleep.
Don't be silly. I've never won anything in my life. We're going on this trip. Baby? Darren?
What? It's so early, Bridget. Can't this wait?
Can I at least tell you about it? It's so fabulous. I might die. I have to tell someone.
If you die, will you promise to be quiet about it?
I entered a contest through Antoinette Magazine. There must have been thousands of entries. It's for this trip to Haute Couture Paris Fashion Week in July in 2 weeks. And that's not even the best part. Listen, airfare for two, hotel accommodations, passes to the Christian Dior fashion show, and a chance to be featured in an upcoming issue of Antoinette Magazine. Can you believe it? I'm so excited. No! Coming!
Oh, thank God. Hi, doll. I'm Poppy, the editor you'll be working with.
I'm Bridget. Is everything all right?
Everything's perfect, darling. I'm just basking in the relief of you not being an uggo or a fatty over 30.
Thank you.
You're welcome, gorgeous. This whole thing would have been blown to bits if we couldn't do a feature. I mean, we'd still send you the Dior show, of course, but what would we put you in? Speaking of, what are those?
Pants.
Oh, are you about to go to a jog or something?
No, I'm still getting settled. Just started unpacking, actually.
Oh, did you wear yoga pants on your flight?
Yeah. It's a 12-hour trip from Austin. I just don't.
Never mind. Just don't wear them outside of this room.
Okay. Well, it's so fun and nice to finally meet you. I love your bag. Is it Michael Kors?
You're so funny. Absolutely not. Givenchy. But you're forgiven. Look how fresh-faced you are. I'd still be hungover from Ambien if I were in your shoes. Caesar is going to love you. Have you met him yet? What I'm thinking, of course, you haven't met him. If you had, those would be on fire and in the trash can over there. Did you bring someone with you?
Well, I really tried to convince my boyfriend, Darren, to come with me, but he said he couldn't take off work on such short notice.
All the better. Boyfriends hate these things. Trust me. It'll just be you and Bruno, then. No slowing you down.
Who's Bruno?
He's your photographer for the week. He does these special features all the time. Now, I'm off. I'm covering the Chanel show this afternoon. Caesar should be coming by with Bruno in the next hour or so, so don't go anywhere. If you get hungry, order room service, but only like a salad or some fruit. The camera will be unforgiving. I'll see you at the show tomorrow.
Wait, we're going to the Dior show tomorrow? I thought it wasn't until Wednesday.
Ugh, I'm going to kill my assistant. Didn't she send you an itinerary?
She did, but it has us going to the Atelier tomorrow and the show on Wednesday. I'm so excited for both, but Poppy, I'm so sorry. I have no idea what to wear.
Darling, that's what Caesar is for. Antoinette Magazine takes very good care of our guests. Don't worry, you won't even look American, much less Texan. Once he's finished with you, ciao.
Be right there.
Oh, my darling, how delightfully bucolic you are. I can't believe you're wearing jeans during Paris Fashion Week. Poppy was right.
Oh, no. Is this all wrong? They're from Rag and Bone. I paid a small fortune for them.
Well, points for that, my dear, but Serena Pope will have you, no, me, shot and killed in the middle of the street if you're seen in jeans out in public in the middle of Fashion Week. In Paris, no less. Maybe New York. Where are you from again?
Austin, Texas.
Oh, that's right. Well, at least you're not wearing cowboy boots to really set off the whole country mouse look.
Not everyone in Texas wears cowboy boots.
Sure, and I don't get Botox every 3 months. So, let's have a look at you. That must be the clothes. Boys, right through here. Put one in the bathroom if you need to.
Oh, my God. This
just can't all be for me.
We won't use all of it, or even half of it. The key is to have options. Ugh, I'm the worst. I didn't even introduce myself. I'm Caesar.
I kind of figured. And I'm Bridget, but you knew that. Where's all this from? And Poppy mentioned a photographer, Bruno?
The Antoinette Paris office sample closet, of course. And Bruno should be here any minute. That should do it, boys. Thank you. Okay. First things first, we need to find you something smashing for the Dior show tomorrow, but not too crazy. Something very French, classic.
How will you choose? Everything's so beautiful.
Ha, let's start here. Yes, yes, it's very Coco Mademoiselle, very demure.
Oh, I love it! Oh, the buttons down the back really make it something special. Who is it by?
No label. It's vintage, which is the best. Oh. No one else will have it. Let's see how it looks.
Door's open.
I'm here to meet Bridget.
Hi, that's me, Bruno, right? Come on in.
Hello, Brew Bear. How was the flight?
Ah, you know, the usual.
Bridget, are you going to put on this dress or not? If you don't, I will.
Oh, okay. I'll be right back.
Where are you going? Oh, of course. Modesty and all that. Sorry, doll. We're so used to the models just stripping down. Put it on, but don't try to do any of the buttons yourself.
Oh, Caesar, it's gorgeous. Is there a chance I could keep this? Is there?
We'll see. Probably not with that one, but we won't let you leave Fashion Week without some sort of little souvenir.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and start snapping some photos.
Do you need to set up your equipment or anything?
No, I got it right here.
That's an iPhone.
Yeah, it's the newest iPhone. 12-megapixel camera. It's really quite amazing. Have you seen the new one yet?
Don't worry, honey. We work with them all the time.
Thanks, Caesar. I promise. I'm a total pro. All the pics I'm snapping this week are going to be sent off to Antoinette's social media team. They're curating stuff from like 6 different photographers for the magazine's Instagram and Twitter and online content for Fashion Week coverage.
Oh, I had something different in mind when Poppy said I might be featured in an upcoming issue. I thought she meant the print version.
Oh, she does. We'll be doing your print shoot later in the week with the studio and real equipment and everything. Oh, don't furrow your brow, dear. Botox really is expensive.
Oh, but you know how it is these days. They want every second documented in real time, you know, hence the iPhone. I don't have time to mess with big lenses and SD cards on the run.
Yeah, guess that makes sense.
Well, I'm glad you're on board. Now let's get some use out of that balcony. You look very Coco Mademoiselle and would photograph great against the skyline.
That's exactly what I said. Glad you picked up a little something after all these years.
See, I told you I knew what I'm talking about.
Oh my God, Caesar, you're a genius! Look at our girl. Those kitten heels are just darling. Who's the dress by?
I know, right? Dress is vintage. Twist chic, you know? And Bridget, bravo on the hair and makeup. It looks like you did almost nothing to yourself. Just like I instructed. Can you believe she was wearing jeans yesterday?
Well, the last time I saw her, she was wearing yoga pants.
Poppy, you'll give me a heart attack. Don't let anyone hear you.
So, is it time to go in yet? Almost. Here's your ticket. We'll see you afterward. Let's meet here, okay? Wait, what do you mean? I'm not sitting with you?
Oh, my dear, you really are an absolute riot. We're in the second row, right behind Serena Pope. You'll be in the back, out of harm's way.
Wonderful to see you. I thought I saw you in the crowd yesterday. Oh, and Poppy, I know you wouldn't miss our little show.
Charlotte, my dear, radiant as ever, how do you do it? Don't you ever take a day off?
Not this month. We have orders coming in already from yesterday.
I don't doubt it. It was transcendent. Sorry we're late.
I was struck with inspiration.
My dear, I've done it again. Aren't you a vision? Look familiar, Charlotte.
Oh, one of my favorites. Dior Spring 2012 Prêt-à-Porter.
Hardly anyone can pull off that pale blush color. But Bridget, you look lovely.
Oh, doesn't she? People were stopping on the street to watch me snap a few quick photos.
Charlotte, may I present Miss Bridget, Antoinette Magazine's Fashion Week contestant winner. Bridget, this is Charlotte, the heartbeat of House Dior.
Caesar, you flatter me. I'm only the atelier manager, and it seems it is Antoinette who has won the prize. Bridget, we could put you on the runway. Well, in some very high heels, perhaps.
Thank you. I can't believe this blouse is ready to wear. If I hadn't been given a lecture on haute couture already, I would have been fooled. I don't know what to say. It's all so much.
Well, let us do the talking then. It'll be a quick tour. Charlotte's taking time out of a very busy schedule to do this for us. Serena sends her love, by the way.
Oh, and what were her thoughts on the show?
No words. And you know that is rare. She adored it.
Oh, well, the Serena Pope seal of approval. We can hope for nothing better. Also, let's begin. We'll start at the top and work our way down. The lift is right this way.
Now, is it true that the atelier is haunted?
Well, there are tales. All rumors, of course. But several seamstresses over the years have sworn they've seen the ghost of Monsieur Dior himself coming to check on their work, making sure it's all up to his standards.
Bridget, this is the original building where Dior opened up shop. If these walls could talk.
You do. Two don't even need me. You could give the tour yourselves.
Yes, darling. Just hand over the keys and we'll take care of it.
And all of our samples will be gone the next day. Here we are.
So quiet. I thought it'd be louder for a workshop.
I'm sure you wouldn't have said the same thing at the beginning of the week.
Well, indeed. It's the calm before the storm, or after the storm, depending on how you look at it. We're already starting on the muslins for the couture orders. Measuring and pinning is pretty quiet work.
No rest for the weary, huh?
Oh, I'm afraid not. And here's one of our most dedicated, Celine.
Bonjour. It's a pleasure to have you visit today. Did you like the show?
It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, and you have one of my favorites here.
Oh, yes, gorgeous. This blue tea-length lace gown reminds me of something Grace Kelly would wear.
Ah, well, it's one of my favorites, too. I have it up here for reference. We received two orders already. Did you know it's best on one of Dior's original creations? We like to make the old new again every now and then to honor him.
Do you always start with this white fabric?
Well, it is called a muslin. We make the entire gown first in essence to make sure it is perfect. The couture fabric is so expensive that there's no room for mistakes. So we start with simple muslin.
It really is divine, Celine. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Hey, Celine, you ever see Dior's ghost up there?
No, not see, but feel. It is still his house. He is always very active before a show. I think he still gets as anxious as we do.
Thank you so much, Celine. We'll let you get back to your work.
Au revoir. Enjoy Paris.
Merci, Celine.
Well, she was perfectly lovely.
Oh, isn't she just a dear? Well, so I'll take you down to the showroom next, but then I have to bid you adieu, I'm afraid. I just received an email about a client crisis, not even 24 hours after the show.
Of course, Charlotte. We appreciate all the time you've been able to give us.
Early dinner after this?
Oh, typical. Leave it to the straight guy to get hungry while looking at couture. I may never eat again.
See, Caesar, you were able to rustle up a little appetite after all.
One cannot live on chiffon alone, apparently.
We need to keep up our strength for the rest of this trip. It's not for the faint of heart.
Bridget, are you okay?
I think I'm in some sort of euphoric state. How do you manage to do this sort of thing all the time? It's sensory overload.
Like Poppy said, it's not for the faint of heart.
I have a question. For my shoot tomorrow, will I be wearing any of the couture gowns from yesterday? It's a Dior feature, right? Oh, my dear. You are a petite thing, but it would be too long. And each garment has been tailored to the millimeter for each model.
Hundreds of hours of work go into just one piece. I'm sorry, doll. I wish we could, but even if it was a perfect fit, the seamstresses need the samples while they're taking orders. Clients are coming by all this week and will want to look at everything closely before throwing down that plastic.
That was stupid of me, wasn't it? Don't worry. We'll still put you in the most exquisite clothes. It will be ready to wear. Just ready to wear Dior is better than most things in life. Just look at what you're wearing now. They make beautiful things, even when it's not haute couture by name.
Hey guys, I'm sorry to interrupt the party here, but does anybody have a phone charger? The Tor ate up most of my batteries. I get so many great shots.
Oh, I do. It's my purse. Just a sec. Oh.
What's the matter, my love?
Oh, my purse. The clutch you lent me, Caesar, it's gone.
Well, that's just perfect. That clutch is probably worth more than my salary.
Well, you think it was stolen?
I don't know. I had it in the atelier. I must have left it there. I did. I put it down to look at that blue lace gown.
Let's go back then.
You don't have to all come with me. I'm so sorry. I was just so enthralled with everything.
We're coming with you. I'd hate to think what would happen if our samples director knew we were leaving thousands of dollars of her inventory lying around Paris.
Hey guys, I'll take care of the bill here. You guys just go.
Keep the receipt and expense it.
Well, this isn't my first time with the rodeo, Caesar. Now, come on, go on. Hurry. It looks like you might have rained.
I was just about to call you, Poppy. We've received our prêt-à-porter line back in the showroom, and I thought you and Caesar might want to pick out a few more recent pieces for the shoot. I was about to leave for the evening, but I know Caesar loves his options.
Oh, that would be magnificent. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte. We would love to take a look.
Poppy?
Oh, right. Charlotte, our little muse here, left her clutch. Well, the magazine's clutch. Upstairs in the atelier.
Oh, well, go on up. The seamstresses have all either left for the day or with clients.
Is it all right that I go by myself?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'll take Poppy and Caesar to the showroom to get started. Just meet us down there when you're finished. The lift will take you right on up.
Thank you, Charlotte. I'm so sorry. Anyone there? Oh no! I can hardly see a thing. Hello? Okay. It's around here somewhere. Here's the gown. The work table's right next to it, and got it! Ah! Okay, I gotta get out of here. Caesar's gonna kill me. Oh, no.
Tu es perdue, ma petite?
Oh, thank God. Do you know where the stairs are?
Ne pleurez pas. Ce n'est pas élégant.
Do you speak English? The elevator is not working because of the storm.
Les portes débutèrent. Essaye encore.
Do you work here? Did you make any of the gowns from yesterday? It was so beautiful. It was like a walking garden. I still can't believe it. It was like a dream.
Quel avez-tu? J'étais là-dedans. Qu'est-ce?
I'm sorry. I don't know what you're saying, but you seem so kind. Oh, thank goodness. But the electricity. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Hello? Sir? Where did he go?
Bridget, thank God. I thought we might have lost you after last night. Poor thing. I think you're still jet-lagged and just exhausted from all the excitement.
I'm sorry to say there's more excitement to come. There are so many options. Get into the makeup chair, and I'll show them to you.
I can't apologize enough about last night. First the clutch, and then ripping the blouse. I'm sorry for being in such a state when I finally got downstairs.
Hey, Bridge, did you find your purse last night?
I did. What an ordeal it was. I've been looking forward to the shoot all week, but now I just feel wiped out.
All right, you know, we'll make it quick. You're working with a crack team here today, but, you know, first, there was a box waiting for you when I got to the studio this morning. It's a big one, too.
How intriguing. Caesar, did you have something sent?
No, not in a box, anyway. We had the racks messengered over this morning.
Yeah, those came after I got here, but the box, you know, was at the door already.
Well, go ahead, Bridget. Don't keep us all in suspense. Open it.
Okay. Oh, there's a note.
What does it say?
I don't know how to pronounce it. It's in French.
Here, hand it to me. Un cadeau.
A gift.
I've heard that word before. That's all it says?
Yeah, well, open the box.
Oh, my God! It can't be! Caesar, Poppy, you said I wouldn't get to wear couture for the shoot. You two are so sly.
But what is it? What? Oh, my God, it's the blue lace gown from the show!
Shut up! Honey, this was not us, and there's no way we could get this dress. I even asked Charlotte last night as a shot in the dark, and she said they needed it in the atelier.
Well, we have it. Go try it on before it disappears.
No, it'll be too long. Trust me. There's no way alterations could have been made in time.
Let her try it, Caesar. Go. Go. Help her into it.
Caesar, calm down. Can I get a little privacy?
It sounds like they need help, but maybe I...
Stay right there, Romeo.
It fits, sir! It's a fashion miracle that couture gods are smiling upon us.
Let me see.
Get a full-length mirror out.
Well, what do you think?
It's perfect. We have to use it. I know exactly how we'll style it. Very Alice through the looking glass. It'll be smashing.
Do we need to ask Charlotte for permission?
It had to have been her that sent it. Besides, they get final approval on the images before they go to print. I say, let's ask for forgiveness if this was some sort of mistake.
Poppy, do you think I might be able to keep it? The card said a gift, and it was tailored for me, so they can't use it as a sample anymore, can they?
Heavens, I would think not. Just cherish the moment for now, darling. It may have been some sort of mistake, but what a beautiful mistake. The chance to wear couture, even for a few hours, is a dream come true.
All right, we're losing the natural light coming through the windows. Caesar, I think we need to get moving if we're going to capture your vision here.
Okay, people, let's go. Bridget, we'll need you to change out of the dress for hair and makeup. Caesar, go help her.
Hey, Bridge, you got mail. It's from Antoinette Magazine.
Ah, where is it?
Oh, I set it down on the table.
Oh, I thought it might be bigger.
Weren't you expecting the issue you're in? This might be it. Aren't you excited?
I am. I thought they might have sent me that dress I was telling you about.
Well, what are you waiting for? Let's see my gorgeous girlfriend in print.
Okay, will you open it for me?
Sure.
Oh, Poppy wrote a note. Dear Bridget, you truly transformed into one of Dior's beautiful flower women in this shoot. I hope you love it as much as Caesar and I do. Page 72. Do come visit us in New York sometime. Kiss, kiss, Poppy. Well, that was sweet of her. And she's not very generous with her compliments.
Oh, babe, you look hot. But who's the old guy in this other picture?
Oh, my God. That's him. And with the dress. That must be the original one Celine talked about.
Christian Dior?
Yes, but that's the man I met that night in Dior's workshop. I didn't even put it together. Why would I think it would be him? He died in the 50s. It can't be. But he said he wanted me to have un cadeau. A gift? That dress was for me.
They seek him here. They seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never square. It'll make or break him, so he's gotta buy the best. He's a dedicated follower of fashion. And when he does his little rounds round the boutiques of London town, eagerly pursuing all the latest fads and trends, He's a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. He thinks he is a flower to be looked at. And when he pulls his frilly nylon panties right up tight, he feels a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. There's one thing that he loves, and that is flattery. One week he's in polka dots, the next week he's in stripes. He's a dedicated follower of fashion. They seek him here. They seek him there. In Regent Street and Leicester Square, everywhere the Carnabician army marches on, each one a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. He thinks he is a butterfly to be looked at. Matters of the cloth, he is as fickle as can be. He's a dedicated follower of fashion. He's a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh, he's a dedicated follower of fashion.
Our very own Ms. Martina Da Silva singing the Kinks classic, A Dedicated Follower of Fashion. So before we part, my friends, would you indulge me in a wee bit of appropriately fitted verse? It's called The Plaid Dress by Edna St. Vincent Millay. Strong sun that bleach the curtains of my room, can you not render colorless this dress I wear? This violent plaid of purple angers and red shames, the yellow stripe of thin but valid treacheries, the flashy green of kind deeds done, through indolence, high judgments given here in haste, the recurring checker of the serious breach of taste. No more uncolored than unmade, I fear can be this garment that I may not doff. Confession does not strip it off to send me homeward eased and bare. All through the formal, unoffending evening, under the clean, bright hair lining the subtle gown, it is not seen, but it is there. And that concludes tonight's program. We do hope you enjoyed it. Let's have a huge hand for our singularly superlative cast, Mr. James Reeser, Ms. Annabelle Rollison, Ms. Lauren Elder, Mr. Michael Pate, Ms. Courtney Gillian Cholovich, Mr. Eric Davy Gislason, and Mr. Bill Heydrich. Our otherworldly musical score was improvised and performed by the amazing Mr. Steve Blanco. Our chilling chanteuse this evening was the always fashionable Ms. Martina Da Silva. Our theme music is by BAFTA award-winning composer Mr. Jason Graves. Find out more information about Jason at jasongraves.com. Our sound designer is the mighty, talented Mr. Greg Russ. Our technical director is the most fabulous Mr. Johnny Goddard. Many thanks again to our special musical guest, Ms. Nicole Zoraitis. and Miss Lauren Elder. Stick around for the fabulous Nicole Zoraitis. She has a full set of her own coming up in just a moment, folks. Do stick around. You will not want to miss it. It's free, yes. Special thanks to the most de rigueur and deliciously delightful staff here at the Sliver Room. Our production coordinator is the beautiful Ms. Dahlia Morali. And our production assistant is the most handsome Mr. Bronte Shane Orengo. Our show was written by Mr. Sylvan Sandovar and Mrs. Rebecca Graves. It was produced by myself, Mr. Daniel Graves, Mrs. Rebecca Graves, and Mr. Gustavo Rodriguez, with additional direction by Ms. Annabelle Rollison. We return to the Sliver Room next month on Monday, yes, Monday, March 28th at 7 p.m. with our annual Irish Ghost Story Show. With tales of a darker side of green. Tickets are on sale now at SliverRoom.com. For all things Fireside, including links to our top-rated podcast, show listings, and lots of other interesting info, simply go to FiresideMysteryTheater.com. Listen to us for free and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and our most fashionable new partner, Audio Boom. Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and do all that stuff. Our handle is Fireside Mystery. You can find us. Just do it. This is your very own, Ali Silva. While some things may never go out of style, nothing truly lasts forever. If you find that the beckoning moonlight should urge you to surrender to the swath of a cloak of darkness, let's hope that you won't be a fashion victim, and you will wear your most sensible shoes to walk the path that narrows toward oblivion so that you may mind the shadows. Good night.
For listening to Fireside Mystery Theater. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and please rate and review us on iTunes. For live show dates, please visit our website at FiresideMysteryTheater.com. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As always, be sure to mind the shadows.